Hello and welcome. I'm Angela Saeva, founder of Equine Elevation and host of Sovereign Horse. Horses have been the greatest catalyst for growth in my life, and this podcast is no exception. Sovereign Horse was inspired by my herd as a space to explore what it means to support sovereignty in our horses and in ourselves. It is my absolute honor to hold space for the horses and humans who are driving the beautiful revolution and paradigm shift I'm seeing within the equine industry right now. My intention with this podcast is to share the voices and wisdom of the horses, as well as the humans who journey alongside them and whose work is honoring horses as sentient and sovereign beings. I am so grateful that you are here, and I hope you find value and resonance in this episode. Let's begin. Hello, my friends. Welcome back for part two of my conversation with Brittany around supporting our horses as they navigate the process of conscious dying. And we pick right back up where we left off in part one. So if you haven't listened to part one, I would highly recommend you pause here and go listen to that episode first. Brittany is going to dive into the physical manifestations of what she calls the wave in this process of conscious dying. And she really kind of explains what it is that we can anticipate actually seeing in the physical as our horses are moving through this process. And I think this part is so important and helpful for those of us who are walking this part of our journey with a horse who's potentially in this process of transitioning, or even to look back at journeys we've been down with other animals who have transitioned to see these physical manifestations and kind of connect the dots and have a better understanding of it for our future. One of the biggest parts about being in partnership with horses is knowing that one day we're going to have to be there beside them as they walk through this process. And so I always feel like the more we understand the process, the better we can hold space for them and for ourselves as we move through it. And as you'll hear in this part of the episode, she was so clear and adamant about me having what I need, not just in support of her, but in support of myself. And so that also I could be in support of the rest of our herd, because of course, her transition affected all of us and it continues to impact all of us. And so I also share about the importance of flexibility through this process and the deep trust that Kisses asked me to step into so that I could be present to what was most aligned for us all as things shifted throughout, you know, the 8 months, and especially toward the end when things were shifting rapidly and frequently. And so let's jump right into the rest of our conversation about the beautiful, one and only, deeply beloved Sun Kisses.
So yeah, so back to like what that kind of looks like from that moment on. And I think that, you know, when I support people and their animals through a transition, I think the piece that is like the most vital to understand, and if I could like make it so that everyone understood one thing, it would be this piece. And she brought it up to you as well, but this process is like waves. It's like a wave, and there are like super low times, and there are times that are super high and everything looks fine. And maybe that wouldn't be the languaging that I use, but that's the languaging that Kisses chose to use and is choosing right now to use. Cause I'm like, how else can I explain this? She's like, you don't, that's how you explain it. And I think it's sometimes that's really hard for our human to understand that sometimes when we go out there and what we see, you are going to see, you know, there are times, and maybe I'll speak to like, because I wasn't there with you every time you went to see Kisses, but I know when I transitioned my boy, it was the same. There were times I would go out there, and
Right.
when I transitioned him, he chose. I was in it for 6 months. The date he chose, I had to be in that for months. And when we finally booked it, I was in it for weeks, and no one knew I was in it. There was only two people I told that this is what I was doing. But there were times I would go out and see him, and I would be like, oh my gosh, there's like no life in him right now. Like, are we going to make it to that date? And there were other times that I would go out and I would question the validity of this is the process we're in. And he would have life left. He'd be running around. He'd be super aware and attentive. He would be doing his like regular horse things, if you will. Like, it would be like, oh my God, I got wrong information and I'm going to do this major life altering thing. And is this right? And I think that that's the piece that I really hope that owners understand is like this process is like a wave. There are really hard times, and there are times where like it looks like business is regular, and that's a totally normal process to be going through. But I think if we bring it back around to kisses and like when she was in that, she was asking for understanding in that and also support in navigating through the waves of like what that was really like to be in her body through the ups and the downs. And as she prepared herself and in that, I know there were things that she was felt like was really important for you to understand. And one, like the one that's like coming right now is like the fact that she would be on the other side in spirit form more regularly. And she was really bridging the gap between that travel over to the other side and coming back, and really starting to operate from a soul level on that, in that realm, on that side. And there was fluidity and back and forth, but I remember her saying that that was going to become more regular for her. It like she was going to be in that space more regularly. And in that process, she also was asking for her physical body to be supported because, and I know for you, this is like an important piece to speak to, and maybe I'll speak to like how it came through for me, and then you can speak to like what it actually means. But you know, in that, and still being in physical form, it's there's an ease. There's an ease for her soul and spirit when there's not a physical body attached. And especially in the process, it can be hard to have that flow in some aspects and then be stuck in our body in another aspect where it is starting to get uncomfortable. And what Kiss has basically asked for is, and how did she word it? I'm like, oh, she asked me to like create fluidity. And at the time, I was like, and I mean, I'm very open about this. I am not really awesome with all of the parts of the body and how things operate and stuff like that. But she basically asked me to create separation between her soul and spirit and her physical body. And she basically was saying that when she's in physical form, because we've talked about how, you know, she was also like in the process of traveling, going to the side, but when she was like really in her body in physical form, it she was like getting stuck, and it was like a creaky, like kind of thing to move. And what she asked of me was to create like a fluidity between her physical body and her spirit and soul so that it wasn't creaky like that, and things could like move together but not be stuck together. And this is one of those wonderful times where things come through and I'm like, I have no idea what's happening. And also, I'm going to tell you this thing. And those are the great points of the recording where, yeah, I'm like, I don't know, but this is what's coming forward. So maybe you want to like speak to the significance of that and what that truly means, because that's your area of expertise, not mine.
Yeah, so it was so interesting because, as Brittany's like, she's just telling me to say this to you, and like she's saying to trust that you're gonna understand it. And the way she was basically describing, like what she was describing to Brittany was her fascial network. So she was basically saying that her fascia, she was getting like kind of stuck because her fascia was stuck. And it was. And I remember, I was like, yeah, sometimes I go outside and she looks like someone had like taken one of those when you like do those freezer packs and you like take all the air out and it like suctions, like free, takes the air out. She would look like that. And then it would be like, oh, okay, we better do some body work. And so, the way, even like the hand gestures that she was saying for you to do, I was like, oh my God, she's basically telling you how to do hand gestures that I use in class to teach about fascia when we're teaching body work. So it was so obvious to me that she was talking about her fascial network. But what I didn't realize was like that there is such a deep spiritual connection. And like, I don't even know how to say it, but like it felt like she was saying like part of it was that there's this like spiritual intuitive housing almost in the fascia, and it was blowing my mind. So I'm hearing you say, because I'm like, I need to learn more about this, but right now I need to focus on my horse. But like in a broader sense, I would like to know more about this. Yeah, so that's what she was talking about.
She was basically saying she was stuck in there, and
It was so interesting too to like to receive that information, not just about the fascia, but about all of the like the waves and kind of the different experiences that she was going to go through, because I witnessed her move through them all. Like, and I had already spoken to, and all this lines up to that time when I started to, like, this was right after the appointment where I'd really accepted things and things started to expedite. That's when I saw her start to take more time away from the herd. I saw her kind of staying in one spot for much longer than she normally would. I would experience times where I would come out and be like, oh my God, I think this is the day. Like she was really struggling with laying down and getting up sometimes. And then other days I would go out and like her hair coat was like, it was like shining from within and it was iridescent and she was like spicy and just feeling great and bucking and like, okay, or we're feeling awesome today. And then, other times like she would be stuck in a heightened state for a really long period of time. Like I remember at one point the irrigation system moved. And she like stood in one spot. It felt like 24 hours because like all day long she didn't move. And then in the morning I found her in the same spot and I was like, what is going on? And she was so fixated on it and like that's so unlike her. And so, it was in a sense comforting to have that to look back at and re-listen to and go like, oh, she, this is why she said to share this with me, because it helped me to understand that that was part of the process because she told me. And, interestingly enough, as I sit here and was listening to you speak about it, I was thinking of my dog Leo, who lived to be a pretty good senior year for a dog of his breed. And we witnessed the similar things where there'd be days where I'm just like, oh my gosh, we need to book his appointment now. Like, I can't keep going on this way. And then other days where he'd be like romping up and down the driveway and, playing in the snow and feeling amazing. And then I'm like, oh, maybe it's not as bad as I think, right? And just as you said, like it's such a roller coaster of emotions to be on as the one who's ultimately going to have to make that phone call and follow through. And so I think it's so important to share this piece. I'm so grateful that you're here to do it because I agree with you. Like, it's so important for humans to know that so that when we're in the process, we can stay in our alignment and not get swayed, because it's so easy in those moments. As you said, it's final. And so, of course, like, we're going to be so much more discerning and so much more careful about that choice. And I think, like, there are times when you just know. And there are other times like this where they walk us through a process. And so there's so much, like, grace to have with yourself in that process, too. And I'm so grateful as well that I had people I could talk to. And I recognize that that's not the case for so many people who, and, you know, this wasn't always the case for me, but I am grateful that, like, in my journey of kind of moving more into this way of being, that along with it, people like you came into my life. And so I've had this support network, to just even just like have anyone to bounce this off of who is going to just sit and hold space and not, you know, do the human thing of like, and totally understandable, but like to kind of go like, well, maybe it isn't time, or add more to your questioning, you know?
Yeah.
And really in those moments, it was so important for me to just have people that I could say, like, this is just what's going on today, and them not try to like offer me solutions or, right? Because really, what solutions are there other than like the support that she did ask for? And she did, I mean, you know, you're talking about how she was like very kind of in this like otherworldly, like etheric realm. And also it was like order $300 worth of gemotherapies and all of her herbs and minerals that she wanted and her homeopathy. So like there was a lot of physical support that was happening at the same time. Was there anything else you wanted to speak to on
I
that?
I just think like, I'm just gonna like bring it back to something we said before, because like this is coming through and I feel like Animal Collective would like this spoken to, but like, you know, to remember that us humans like things to be black and white. It's either this or it's this, and this process is all gray. There's no black and there's no white. It's all gray, and it is so fluid and moving. And you know, you said something and like immediately like it was like corrected for me, and like, and I didn't think it's, I mean, I said the same thing too, but at this point, I'm like, I feel like I need to speak to that. Like, it's a remembering that our animals are so, so, so connected to their soul and the essence of spirit and everything that entails, that it's like, for them, a transition is that it's a transition. And it feels so final for our humanness. And yet, it doesn't for them. It is so, they see it in such a different way. And, you know, the words that come to my head are like, it just is what it is. And, you know, we as humans go like, is it the right time? Am I like taking choice away? Like, you know, all of these pieces. And if you were to ask your animal that, like, they don't see it in the same way. And we always also have to trust that things are happening for a reason. And, you know, us wanting things to be so black and white comes from not wanting to lose connection with that being. And I think that where it's easier for me to speak and trust around this is like my knowing that we have those connections always and forever. And you know, I have seen where they come back in a different form, and you have that connection, and maybe there's a different quality to it, but that soul has come back. And I think that part of this process and this remembering is that if we make a choice, and it's like, in this, it feels a little dark to say this, but I'm just going to say it because it keeps coming to my head and I'm trying to talk around and they're like, no, you need to speak this. But it's like, you know, if you choose if we hadn't gone through this transition with kisses in this way, or you hadn't, because really it's you, I'm saying we, but it was you in your process.
Well, you were very present through the
yeah.
process.
But like, had you not done that and had you transitioned her maybe before she had chosen or not in the way she had chosen, or all of those pieces hadn't been learned around that, like if that contract wasn't complete, she'd come back to reteach that. And we need to trust that, you know, I'm not saying that we should be euthanizing our animals or, you know, transitioning our animals before they're like, you know, like not those pieces, but it is the trust that if it's not complete, they'll come back. And if it's not complete, you will come together again. And it might not look the same, but it is going to come around again if it needs to. And if it's not complete, and there are situations where that happens, of course, accidents happen, transitions happen. You know, most of the time they are in perfect alignment and timing, even if for a humanist, they feel like an quote unquote accident. But there are times that a transition happens and the animal is like, well, wasn't expecting that, right? And so if that needs to come around again, it will. And we need to trust that they're always there for us to connect with, regardless of the black and white our human wants to see.
Yeah. It is hard. When you start to learn about the way that animals hold
mm-hmm.
transition.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I also grew up Italian, like, and Sicilian. So like, I went to a lot of funerals as a kid and they were very dramatic, like, you know, women throwing themselves on caskets and these types of things. So like, it almost was like, if you didn't really express your grief, then did you really love them?
Yeah.
And if you don't carry that forward, like, you know, there's a tradition in my family of you wear black for at least 1 year after someone has died.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, can you even imagine kisses if I were to do that? Like, she'd be like, what are you doing? Like,
she'd be like, my color choice is hot pink. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. She's just like, if you're going to honor me, wear the right color.
Yeah, correct.
You know, and gosh, there's so much. It's true. Like, there is this layer of, am I going to get it right? And
yeah.
then it just adds so much more heaviness to the situation. And with kisses, you know, toward the end, she was, again, like, you know, you'd already kind of touched on it, but well, first of all, she was very specific about her actual transition, like what that was going to look like, and, you know, the ceremony around it and the support for me and all these pieces. But like, even in that, even in all the asks that she had and the kind of way that she wanted it to be held, she was still like, and do what feels aligned. Like, there were things that she said she wanted that I didn't do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there were definitely things I was like, I'm not comfortable with that. That's a little too much for me. And there were other things like that felt uncomfortable, but were like, yeah, of course I'm going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like her flower crown, that was a stretch for me. And, but I did it. It felt really important. And it also felt like a connection that I wouldn't forget or something, like,
yeah.
And there was something really that felt really good about going and sourcing out the specific flowers that I wanted, and
mm-hmm.
Trying to figure out how the F to put that thing together, and like, you know, going out and like, okay, give me your head and see how like big this thing needs to be, like measure. And like, you know, another thing that was so beautiful was that she and Dido wanted pieces of each other's mane braided in. And that was so, like, that was so sweet to do that for them.
I'll never forget that. But that was the first time that that's ever been an ask ever.
Oh.
In any type of session I've ever had. I was reading that this morning when I was going through the notes. And I was like, oh my gosh, that is just so beautiful.
It was so beautiful. And, you know, I wanted to take, well, I wasn't actually 100% sure that I wanted to take mane and tail. She actually said, you know, you may want to do that and think about that ahead of time. And She was so like, she was so like a mom almost, like, make sure, like, it's like, pack your lunch and make sure you use the washroom before we leave. And like, all of a sudden she's like, make sure you have someone there to support you, and make sure you have like you brought food. And I was like, food, what are you even talking about? Like, not, and you're like, you will get hungry at some point. And I that felt so kisses, like self-care, like, can you take care of yourself? And what are you going to need afterward? And who are you going to need? And all those things. And so, it felt so good to do those things. And, even taking the tail, I was like, you know what? I'm actually not just going to take yours. And so I went out with baggies and took pieces of tail for everyone. And so it became a ceremony of like our entire herd, like our whole collective. And yes, the mares wanted their hair braided in, and so that wasn't so much about the boys, but then like it was just really nice to take that time and do that together. Like, it felt like such a beautiful honoring, instead of like this heavy thing, like, I'm gonna take her tail because she's not gonna be, and like, right? Instead, it was just like, I'm taking everyone's tail, and we're gonna have this fun thing that we're gonna do together, and I'm gonna make, jewelry for everyone. And so it was such a nice, whole herd experience, without it being too heavy. And like, I know she didn't really want that either. But it was really interesting that, I had asked, like, are there things you want me to, like, that you want to experience before you transition? And she was like almost like offended by the ask. She's like, no, what are you talking about? Like, at that point, she was like, no, I'm preparing my soul. Like, this is all for my soul now. And so, kind of bringing it back to what you're saying about, like, if you don't fulfill the contract. And I think she, and I never asked if she was going to come back or if she had intentions of coming back. But now that we're just speaking of it in this light, it felt like, whether or not she comes back, she really wanted to make sure that she completed as many cycles, and or however you'd like to say that, from this lifetime, in this lifetime. Like, she didn't want to take that forward. And so there was that ask about the river. She wanted to like have this cleansing experience at a river. And it was interesting because she loved water. I wasn't able to take her to an actual
Well, I
river, but
remember being like, she showed me a river, and also like, are you near a river? Do you go to water? Like, what is that experience like for the two of you? But this is what's coming forward.
well, I would
So.
say, like, if you ask me, that our very favorite thing to do together was to go riding in the water.
Oh, interesting.
Even though every time we'd get to the water, she'd initially be like, ah, water. And then I'd let her go in and paw it, and then she'd put her face in it, and like she loved it. And so, I'm actually really grateful. I have some video of me, like, on top, from on top, of her like splashing in the water and playing, and then like taking a wrong step and like spooking, and just like, it was definitely one of like my most favorite things, if not my favorite thing. I was like, if the only thing we ever did together was like go riding in the water, that's all I want to do anymore. And so it was funny because when we would do cross country, there was always a water element, and my coach would say, like, don't let her play in the water. One day when you're running this and you're not just here schooling, she's going to want to stop and play in the water. And I always laughed. So I'm like, no, she's not. And she never, when we were on course running it, she never tried to stop and play in the water. She'd be like, are you kidding me? I know what my job is. Like, you jump in, you gallop through, you jump out. So the water was really significant. And we did do, like, I didn't know what I was doing. I just tried to follow kind of your guidance, and we did a meditation, and I would say she really took the lead once we were like in the space, and she did her own kind of clearing process, and that felt really, it felt really complete to do that together as well. And so I don't know if it was everything she hoped it would be, or that she got what she was asking for that experience, but I think it was really significant that we did do that together so that we both could close some of those chapters, because we had been through a lot. Like, I mean, really had been through a lot, which again, I think is how we ended up here at this point of, I think the grander thing was she didn't want her body to get to a point where she couldn't be in it anymore. And knowing how many injuries she had and how many physical things were going on, that it in hindsight seems like, oh, well, of course we would end up in this position where there was this other thing that was going to almost force our hand, so to speak. Right. And the fact that it wasn't known until it was beyond really being resolved, it all just felt so like, oh, okay, I get
I mean, we can
it.
like zoom out even more and even ask, were you meant to have a long contract together? Or was your contract meant to be, however many years versus,
I never really thought about it like that. About like that the length of contract would be already like in it. Well, that's interesting. Well, that raises questions.
But
Come
you're
on,
saying
Brittany.
that, and I'm like, no, I feel like she's asking me to like ask you to zoom out on that one.
Well, what I would say is interesting about that is like when Kisses came into my life, she really took over. And so I would say that, like, even though I had five horses the majority of time that we were together, she was at the forefront, even with the boys. And I mean, y'all know how much I love Indy. Like, it's not a secret. Like, even with the boys, she was so at the forefront of my life. And so it also makes sense. Like, even now, so now I'm thinking about Dido, and I'm like, Dido's been in my life the longest, and she feels like a horse who will live a long time. Like, I don't feel like she's, and she's the oldest of the herd. And so it's interesting because it's like she has not been so much a forefront horse, but she's very significantly there. Yeah. So, like, oh man, I never thought of it like that before. Well, that's interesting. Another thing that, I mean, I don't know how significant it is to talk about all of the details of how things did not go to plan in any way, shape, or form as far as the actual transition went. But what I would say is, like, even though I thought everything was sorted, and then apparently it wasn't. We had to pivot a lot.
And I think, like, when I think about that and like what wisdom kind of would want to come through around that, I even think of like, even if we talk about like weeks before, like 4 to 6 weeks before, and the presence that was required, and how many times did we hold a session and then we think we like got it, and then life happened, and then we had to go back
Oh.
again and be like, okay, these are the new situation, and I really think that that speaks to your presence and like the wisdom that can be shared around that. If we look at like, Kisses wants this to be like a teaching for people, it's like, just because something comes through as one way doesn't mean that life doesn't sometimes happen and that needs to be altered. Like, I think of initially when she was like, hey, this is my plan. This is what this looks like. This is kind of my timing. Like, this is what I want. And then something shifted. And then we go back in, and she was, there was never like, nope, that's still a thing. It's like, okay, this is how this can shift. This is what this can look like. And it's not getting stuck in the, this is initially what she said. Like, you never were at a place where you're like, well, this is what she said, so this is what needs to happen. It's like, okay, let's reassess. Like, this is the current situation. What does she have to say around this? Like, what needs to be shifted now that this thing has shifted or this thing has happened? And it's like, you never try to be like, this is the thing she said initially, and so it must be this thing. Even the way you talk about some of the layers that weren't able to happen, it's never from, I failed her because I wasn't able to do XYZ. It's like, this is the flow of what happened. And our animals never want us to, it's that black and that white. It's that, that's what I'm being reminded and shown again. It's like we love the black and the white, And there's so much room for gray, and they have such compassion and understanding of gray. They have more understanding of gray than they do the black and the white. Like, they don't understand why we need to live so in the black and the white. And if I'm like, my horses are going to roll their eyes about something with me, I'm like, it's my black and my white sometimes that I can get into just from being a human. And it's like, the gray area is where the learning occurs and the fluidity occurs and the connection occurs. And it's where we get out of our humanness and into like that energetic space of like what's really here. And so I would say, like, first of all, shocking how many times there was something that it was like, oh, this has shifted. Oh, this has shifted, and like all external things.
Oh my
And
God.
yet, I feel like if we were to go into session now and ask about her transition, she'd say it was exactly how it was supposed to be.
It was so hard. I felt like I was in a pinball machine for like 3 weeks leading up to her transition when it finally happened. The dates had changed so many times. The circumstances had changed, the logistics changed, the things that were promised were unpromised. And I am not used to having so many external factors in play and so many people's stuff to deal with. But I wasn't on my own farm. And so it would have been so much easier to just honor her wishes if that had been the case. But the way that it happened and the way that it, and it, what kind of was perplexing to me was that the things that she said she wanted, I remember saying, like, it's so aligned that this is happening here because in this place, she actually can have all those things she asked for. And then, like, 80% of them were taken away. And I didn't understand why. And it was perplexing because I was like, it feels so aligned that this all happened here. And then all of a sudden, it was just like you said, one thing after another after another. And that's why I felt like I was in this pinball machine of like, I definitely felt like an image of like myself just in the middle of like the ocean floating. Because I was like, what else can I do? I can't hold on to anything. There is no more black and white. If I'm not fluid, I'm not going to make it through. And then right before I was leaving to go away in June, toward the end of June, I was doing like my final check on the horses, and Dido did something very strange, and I had a moment of like, are you gonna be here when I get back? And I just said to her, like, I was like, can you just wait for 5 days? Like, can you please give me that? And as soon as I get back, you are my top priority. And I swear, like, I will be with you and you tell me what you need. But like, right now, I need you to give me 5 days. And then, like, I see you. I see that something's here and we will address it. And when I came back, you know, she was like, here's the thing. I won't be a herd of three. And so you either need to bring in more horses or we need to move or make me an appointment with Kisses. And I was like, okay. That was really hard to hear. And I don't think I realized how much she and Kisses were supporting each other. And so, you know, there was the ultimatum, and I had to make a decision because I was like, even months prior to that, I thought I was going to bring in two more horses into the herd. And then life started going a different way for me. And so then it became this question of like, okay, so if you move into another herd,
what herd do you move into? And if there's anything that I've learned at this point, it's like, I know whenever someone says that, right? You're like, what's going to come out of their mouth?
No, I probably could guess what's coming out of your mouth. That's why I'm laughing.
Well, I was going to say, like, if there's anything I've learned at this point about alignment, it's that for me in my life, when something is aligned, it usually happens fast and completely in flow and without really any effort on my part. Because all that happened was I was sitting here at Hillary's. You were there on the one side, and I'm pretty sure Hillary was sitting on my other side. And I don't even know why I expressed it, but I think I had said, like, I think I need to move the horses or something along those lines. And both of you were just like, no worries. They can come here or they can go there. Like, it was just like two options got put right in front of me. And I knew that they were serious. Like, it was like not something you say when you're just like trying to make someone feel better.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, this is happening. Like, they're going to move. And before I knew it, I mean, I don't even know how long it was before the decision was made, but it was no time at all, really, that they were going to move to where they are now and be with your herd. And but what I didn't anticipate was how quickly after Kiss's transition that was going to happen. And when it became clear to me that they were saying they wanted to move ASAP, and then the human logistics dictated that they move the next morning, I was like, okay, so this is one of those times where my human's like not okay with the soul plan.
Like, that was a lot.
That was a lot.
Yeah.
And knowing that, going into the transition, and Kisses was saying that, like, her primary priority for me was to be present. And so that's partly why she was setting up all those things like a mom would do, to be like, make sure all these things have been thought about so that at the time you can be present with me and with the process. And I remember also in a session, she said that I wouldn't be alone. There'd be four people. And there were four people.
Yeah, that was crazy.
It wasn't the four people I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Let's be clear about that. But I remember looking up and looking around, and I don't remember which one of us said it, but it was just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
There's four people. And the transition happened like really quickly for me.
Yeah.
It didn't go to plan. And I wasn't able to give the horses the closure time that I wanted to give them because of logistics again. But like, and I don't know if you feel comfortable sharing this, but do you want to speak a little bit from your perspective of like being there in support of, I don't know, just anything that is coming forward for you? Like, I mean, for me, I was so grateful because you were doing things that like I wasn't in a headspace to think about. And I was so glad you were doing them because I'm like, oh, that needs to get done. And, yeah, so just if there's anything you wanted to kind of speak to around the actual transition.
Yeah, you know, I just, from the moment we walked up there, I just think that they just showed us that they knew what was happening. Because we were out there, like, I don't even remember how early before, like, well, we were like a couple hours before. And I think it was just so beautiful to see what they were showing us and how they were showing us that they knew what was happening. I think you know, as a witness and like holding the space, I was super honored to be there. I think that was the first time that I have held space for someone else's partnership in that way. I mean, I had been through it myself. But it was so beautiful to be connected with her and you guys in that way, and just like following the urges and like allowing her to speak what was needed in terms of like the crystals being laid out and, you know, like all of those pieces. And I mean, I think the piece that's coming for me, and I like, I don't know how comfortable you are with like me sharing what kind of came forward when you were with her. And like, if you're kind okay with that. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I think for me, and like, I'll probably cry because I was like, oh my gosh. But like, let me get my breath so people can hear me. I think the beauty of like being a witness to the whole thing, it's one thing to connect with her, and you know, I do it from a distance, and you know, I have full faith and trust in what comes forward in my connection with her, obviously. And yet it's another thing to be there and witness things play out and to be there in your process and to be able to hold space for that. And then, you know, after the fact, you know, we're still in the ceremony of her transition, but she's, you know, she's very obviously left her physical body and she's fully in spirit form. And I remember so distinctly, I was sitting beside slash behind and away from you. And I don't even remember what you were saying, but you were like sitting there with her and I don't remember your exact words, nor does it feel appropriate to like repeat your exact words, but I just remember seeing her behind you and she was just like, she was like, but mom, I'm right here, but mom, I'm right here, but mom, I'm right here. And I'm like getting emotional because like that was like so beautiful to witness. And also I think speaks to, oh my gosh, I think I'm crying more than you in this.
I was thinking, I'm like, maybe I got all my tears up this morning.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm like, I think for me, the emotion comes from, I don't even know that I like really totally cried this much in it because it was just, I was so in it, but I think I'm like remembering all the feels of like those moments. But, you know, I think it just speaks to like how honored she felt, how easy her transition went, the depth of connection that the two of you had. And it feels wrong to say how aligned the process was, but there is a layer where that was aligned. And I will never, ever forget that experience. She taught me so much in that experience. And like, yeah, looking back and like, you know, now that there's some distance and it's been time, but even to think about why the timing was the timing it was, the events that occurred after, and like all of that, it just is like, it's a moment. It's one of those moments that I'm like, they just know and see the bigger picture so much more clearly than we do. And that was a moment, and that day and that this process was like profoundly impactful for me in transition support and even like the beauty of how that is held from both animal and human. And I think that your vet learned stuff in that.
Oh,
isn't that ripple?
I definitely think that he learned, because he wasn't supposed to be there. Multiple times he wasn't supposed to be there. And he, when he realized what was happening, he actually like shifted things around to be there. And he didn't even say hello. Like, he got out of the truck and he had questions. And I was like, okay. I know there was huge learning in this for him. Also, the dental specialist was like very in connection with him through the whole thing. Like, she was personally like also saying there's learning here for him, and like was very much wanting to make sure he received that. Mm-hmm. There, you know, there's so many other things that I haven't spoken to, but like there was a lot of advocacy I needed to do for her in the process of him coming out and doing what he did do to her teeth and the x-rays, and he had to come out twice for x-rays. Like there, he was out a fair bit throughout this process, and there was, you know, as I say, a lot of advocating I needed to do, and he was open to it. Like, he truly listened. It wasn't his like innate state of being to do things in the way I was asking him to. Mm-hmm. But he totally understood why I was asking him to shift, and he was willing to. And so I do find that interesting, because he did genuinely care throughout the process in his way.
Yeah.
And yeah, I knew what you meant when you were like, felt wrong to say it. The whole transition process did not go to plan, even though at all. Like, I mean, I'm not talking like the initial plan and how that changed 12 times, but I'm talking like the final plan of the day. Mm-hmm. And even that didn't go to plan. Mm-hmm. And so it was just like, what is happening? Like, and it was so much this whole process of, you know, talking about Zoom out, it was so much like, be in your presence,
yeah.
Go with the flow, be in your presence, go with the flow, like pivot. And pivot and pivot. That was aligned. Something shifts. It's not aligned anymore. What's aligned now? And it just was like over and over and over again. I don't even know how many hundreds of times and decisions and choices had to be made through it all. And I was so grateful that you were there and that you shared with me that you saw her transition out of her body so quickly, because it the way that everything sped up at the end, it was just like I was having a hard time like knowing if it was okay, you know, like if what had happened was okay.
Yeah.
And so you being there and witnessing that and sharing that with me was so significant, because it allowed me to like answer that final question of like, it was all aligned, even though it didn't look like what we had planned. And was it perfect? No.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, at the same time, because it's, you know, what's your definition of perfect? Now, the one horse I do feel was most affected by that was Indy,
mm-hmm.
which we didn't know until later.
I don't think I even knew that was
no.
Gonna, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, so then even, you know, even the way that I was saying like, oh, I was going to move them into that smaller paddock. And it was like, I said it and they moved themselves in.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, okay, well, I guess I better just go close the gate then since, you know, and yeah. So like, it was all those things that were so obvious that they knew what was going on. And then it just all happened so fast after all of that time, all those months, and then it happened so fast, and it was just like the strangest experience to look out into the field and there be three. And yet you would think with all that time to prepare, you know, you'd be like, okay, I knew this was going to happen. And yet you can't know how you're going to feel until you're in it.
Yeah.
And that just, it was such a theme with her. It was just also, she was like, actually, your cat came forward with part of this too, Melman, about like not just being in your emotions, but like moving through your emotions. And something significant that the herd had said to me when they were also saying like, at some point you won't be able to lean on us for support and you'll need to go to another herd, was like, make sure you're processing your emotions, because we're going to be okay if you do that. But like, we all need to stay on top of that process. And they were saying like, you need to take the lead on that. So I would say also throughout the process that there were times when I wouldn't go out, or, you know, maybe I wanted to go out, but I would say like, I think I'm too in it right now. And so that was hard too, because it's like, I want to go to those who I would normally go to for support, but like knowing that they've got their own process they're going to through as well. And so again, like, so grateful for you and for a couple of my other very close friends who were always there and checking in, and throughout the very long process that just kind of kept going. And I'm so grateful. I'm just so grateful for all the support that we all had throughout all of it. So is there anything else that you feel?
The only other thing that's coming up, and I feel like this is like, I think where Kisses wants to bring this forward is like the alignment of like trusting, and you don't always know what, why you're trusting until like you're out on the other side. But I think the other piece that potentially like is coming forward, and it's come through a couple times during this conversation, is like the significance of the date. And it being so much sooner than we thought it was going to be, but had it been the original date, like, I don't know, like, are you feeling called to speak to that, or do you want me to speak to that, or are you following my train of thought?
Yeah, I know, I was on the fence about whether or not to talk to that. I think I feel like I let you speak to that through her lens of, because clearly she's present, so like, what she wants to share around that. Yeah, for sure.
So I think the other layer that's like coming forward for me that, I feel like Kit is in this, like, I think for her in this podcast, it really is about bringing awareness and teaching to other. And so like the other piece that I think like is coming forward that she would like spoken to is that, you know, as we're in the decision-making process and, you know, your horses had chosen where they were going, there was the opportunity to ask her if she wanted to move with them. And and she was given choice in that. And
oh my gosh, there were so many things. I don't even remember them all.
There were so many things, but for her, you know, more gray areas, right? But ultimately she had chosen that she didn't want to. And that would be really hard for her physical body. And kind of in and around the same time, the, you know, the date was getting like moved closer and closer. Like the date we originally were seeing and the month that she chose, like, was like, talk about timelines shifting, like it was getting closer and closer to us, and not because days were moving forward, but because it was changing in date. And
I remember being like, why are these timelines collapsing so quickly?
Well, and at one point I was like, can I trust any of the dates you're choosing right now? This is like, what's happening here? And I remember being in that and both of us being like, what the fuck is happening, basically? Like, what is happening? And also, like, things were shifting, so there was this major layer of trust. And I think the important thing to speak to is like, you know, the date of her transition, like, felt aligned and we trusted and you followed that. And, you know, looking back and reflecting now, had we not done that, and not allowed the date to move and shift and change and trust the timing of dynamics that were happening and, you know, choices being made and things like that, she would have had to move properties. And maybe you want to speak to that.
Yes, because 2 weeks after the horses moved, we were evacuated because a wildfire was on our doorstep. And my horses were already moved. And I have full body goosebumps. It was such a stressful situation to step outside my door and see a fire right across the across the street, to be able to feel it and hear it and go, all I have to do is put my dogs in my truck and leave. And my landlords had 7 horses on the property, and the only trailer was my 2-horse trailer. And so they were able to use my trailer to get their horses evacuated, and my horses never had to move because they were already in a safe space that thankfully remained safe throughout the whole thing. And I just remember that was one of the very first things that I realized after we got to safety, and I laid my head down on the bed and was just like, oh my God, I would be moving my horses in the middle of the night right now. And not only were they moved, they were somewhat settled because it had been a couple of weeks. And it was such a moment of, this is why, even when it's so hard for my human to get on board, I still choose what I know in my soul is aligned, because I don't know in the moment. And I have never to this day been steered wrong. And I have only had so much validation in my life of continue to trust, especially when it makes no sense. And there were so many life things happening alongside of this too that I'm not going to speak to. It's not appropriate for the episode, or probably I won't share it all, but like, there was just so much trust being asked of me. And I remember you and I, because Brittany was there for everything. Like, that's why she's here on this episode. Like, there, you know, if you reminded me of things that I'd forgotten about, that was pretty significant. She was there through it all. And so we moved the horses. I mean, we put the horses on the trailer. They loaded in what, 60 seconds? 3 horses on a trailer.
Correct.
Yeah. Like, it was just like go time. And
a trailer they had never been on. They had never been on that type of trailer before. And it was
correct.
Like nothing. Yeah.
Correct. Nothing. I was like, oh, they might not know. Nope. They all just walked right on. And, you know, we transitioned them into the herd, and we were sitting in the herd. I don't know how many hours we had been in there at that point, probably like 3. And I was just like sitting under this tree, bawling my eyes out. And you were like, are you okay? I'm like, no. And also, maybe, like, I don't know. It was so hard. And yet, you know, I remember you being the one reminding me, like, it has to be aligned for you as well. It has to be aligned for you as well. And I just, it's so clear to me at this point that we've been co-creating together for so long, my horses and I, that it's like, I know and trust that if it's aligned for them, it's aligned for me. And if it's aligned for me, it's aligned for them.
Yeah.
Like, there's no more separation or like wondering about that in my mind. And so that's why at this point, and at that point of making the decision, that they were so clear that they were moving, and they were moving like within days, like as soon as possible. And then when it turned out being like 12 hours later, the next morning, I was just like, I don't know if I can handle, like, if my heart can handle this. And I was like, of course you can, because this is what's being asked of you. And you wouldn't be asked to go through this if it wasn't in everyone's highest and best interest.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I sat crying in the field, heartbroken, and went home. And I remember distinctly, like, driving down, you know, the way that the road was set up is like the big field. You drive past it before you get to the house. And I just distinctly recall, like, driving past the field and being like, if my horses aren't here, what's the point of being here?
Yeah.
And then all of those balls started getting put into motion about not being there. And it's just like, trust and surrender, and go with the flow and pivot. And thank you, kisses, because there have been so many things in my life that she has been the catalyst for and been working on behind the scenes that, like, I didn't know about until later. And there was a piece of me that felt like she's been this such a strong source of manifestation in our lives for so long.
Yeah.
That I was like, how will we do it without her, you know? And they've shown me that, like, it looks different.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, yes, of course, we can still do it.
Yeah.
I've just, you know, I got so used to her being the one taking the lead on those things. And
yeah.
so it's just like another layer of that trust and pivot that she's been sharing with me this whole time. Like, trust that you will pivot, trust that the four of you now will work together. And also this, like, trust in the sharing of the leadership that I wasn't really seeing before. You know, even through all of this process, I really have still felt like, even though I ask and I offer them a lot of choice, I'm still the leader of our unit.
Yeah.
And that choice of theirs to move as quickly as they did, that was me going like, okay, you're in the lead.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was probably the deepest level of trust of any decision I've ever made with my horses, was that one.
Yeah.
And then I kind of chuckle because, you know, it wasn't perfect transition in for them or integration into the herd either. But then I got to witness this whole other side of Dido that, I guess I shouldn't say a whole other side, but like a side of her I haven't had to, she hasn't have had to really step into because she's been the lead of the herd for so long. That to step into another herd, it was like, well, what is she going to do? And is she going to take the lead like she normally, quote unquote, or like has in the past? And, you know, witnessing her and how much respect she was given right from the get-go was so interesting to witness.
I'm like, how many minutes was it before she was at the theater eating with everyone?
Right.
Like, I don't even know.
No, it was just like, she just showed up. She was like, yeah, of course I'm going to go eat. And then she went and ate.
Yeah.
Like, and of course the boys had their own unique and very different processes. But she really took the lead on that. And she asked me for that trust. And I have to say that I'm not sure that I've ever had to trust her to that depth before. Outside of like personal safety when riding, which is different, but it's been an interesting recognition of the shift of the way that we're holding that space of who's quote unquote taking the lead, and how much more fluid that has become, I think, in a way that I maybe didn't really see coming.
Yeah, I don't know that they expected it even in the way it's transpired, but I think that that also speaks to allowing there to be flow. Allowing there to be flow and allowing them to navigate the whole transition, the bit, you know, like all of it in the way that was authentic to them.
I was just laughing because I'm like, what was it that I was like when we were having the session about the logistics around moving? And I wanted to make sure everyone understood what, like, why it was happening, what was going on. And they were like, do you honestly think that this was your decision or something like that? Or like, I don't remember exactly how they said it, but it was basically like, yeah.
Like, I'm like, part of me really wants to find that in my notes.
I know. It was.
That was so good.
I laughed right out loud when I heard it. I was like, oh, right. Of course. I feel like I'm always the last to know what's really going on.
Like, oh, that's so funny.
That's why now I'm just like, I don't know what you guys are up to, but something's definitely in the works. And I'll just let you have your space to do it because they're doing it anyway. Like, they're doing it anyway. So I might as well just now have that understanding and give them the space to do whatever it is that they're doing and trust that we move as a unit. And so whatever that looks like is, like I said, aligned for all of us. You know, right now we don't live together, which I never thought would happen again. But it has been necessary for this period of time because of all the transition that's going on that I again, didn't know or couldn't anticipate. So if you feel like your horse is trying to tell you something and it feels uncomfortable or stretchy or difficult, but it also feels aligned, well, I would say from my experience to drop into that trust. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know how many times now it's just been shown to me over and over again that when you are in that co-creative partnership with horses, with animals, but of course we're talking about horses, like we aren't as in the lead of things as we think that we are being the humans. And yes, we do have to hold a lot being the human, as in like making the money to pay for the things and, you know, human stuff. And when we trust in that partnership and let them take the lead, sometimes the places that they've taken me are just like so much more extraordinary than anything I could have designed in my own mind. Mm-hmm. And they truly have this bigger picture. And it can be hard to trust in that, just as it can be hard to trust in any signs from the universe or intuition. But man, I'm so glad that I got on board with this whenever it was that I did. Because my life has changed so much in ways that just like to the outside would make no sense.
Yeah.
And the speed at which things can change,
mm-hmm.
and manifest.
Mm-hmm.
I truly believe is partly because of that co-creative energy. You know, like when two of us are focused on the same thing and we're both putting our energy into it, it's so much more powerful. And then, oh, I have had four horses plus me doing that, you know, three horses plus me doing that, it amplifies. And not only does it amplify the energy, it amplifies the perspective, because it's not just my perspective that I can see from my humanness and when I'm able to take the higher perspective of my higher self, but their perspectives and their higher selves too. Like, it's really such a gift.
Mm-hmm.
Oof.
Yeah.
That was a lot.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We made it.
We made it.
Well, I've been putting this off for a while, and you know, Kisses was very clear that when I did share this story, that it needed to be at a time when I had processed through the charged emotions.
Yeah.
And I can't believe I didn't full on cry. I had a couple of like almost cries, but she knew that it was going to take some time. And I truly didn't think it was. I thought I was just going to share about it. And of course she was right.
Yeah.
So I'm so grateful, and I just genuinely hope that, because I honestly can't even remember really anything that I said, I genuinely hope that this episode was what she would feel is an honor to her, and what she was really trying to teach me, especially in those final months. Mm-hmm. And I really hope that those of you who are listening found value and are able to take some of this into your own life, because that's truly the reason that I'm sharing, and that I asked Brittany to come on and support in that space to share from that broader perspective of experiences that we can all tap into, and hopefully maybe even make it easier for some of you who might be finding yourselves in these spaces of transition. And also, I just can't highly recommend Brittany more for her work that she does. So please reach out to her too if you are in need of support. The way she communicates is just on another level. And I have never experienced like the physical manifestation of the work so obviously as with her. You know, she'll do a session and in 24 hours, I'm just like, the changes and the way I can see the shifts in the horses and the energy. You know, and I wonder if maybe we do an episode talking about Indy a little bit one day to shift, because that was so impactful for him. But like energy, the energy is real, you know, and yes, sometimes it takes a while for it to manifest in those physical spaces, but whatever it is you do, it's like, whether it's the work you're doing, the potency of it, or like the way you're able to tap into what the horse or the animal really needs at that time, mm-hmm. it just is so potent, like the way that the work is obviously integrated in such a short period of time. It's just really incredible, and you have such a beautiful gift. So I thank you so much, Brittany, for everything that you have done in that space, and also just in being the most amazing friend. So thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much for joining me here. I sincerely hope you found resonance within this episode. If you did, I'd love to hear from you. Reach out to me on Instagram at Equine Elevation, or you can find me online at equineelevation.com. Until next time.